Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you heard that, huh? Replace my cauliflower, dear. Oh. Hold on. Oh, and I found those patches.
Oh, cool.
When I start putting things in order, I don't expect them to be in order, so I don't look there. They were filed with my other small items upstairs.
Good.
Here. Yeah. Anyway, I'm working on things, but so let's see. There's 12. There's a box of 8 of the full face patches, and then there's 3 more. And then there's, let's see, how many of the other ones did I say? I laid them over here. So I was afraid I couldn't get you an email that was straight last night when I was going to do it. I better wait. There's
okay.
3. You might not have made any sense out of it at all. There's just 2 of the neck patches.
Okay.
And that would make 11 of the other ones all together, the face.
So 11 face patches.
And 3 neck, yeah. I'll say it right. See, that's what I would have done on an email.
3 neck. Okay.
Yeah, 3 neck, yeah.
Cool. I will call her.
Box.
Yeah, I'll call her this morning and let her know. And she'll probably take them all. So I never came up with
You never came up with the price of what they used to be just to be able
no.
to say to her?
No.
And I don't know how important that is because they're, you know, way old. But,
what do you think we should? Maybe we could just come up with something for her.
I don't know. How many did you give her last time for what? I can't remember.
Well, there were two neck patches, in the box that were sealed, you know. And she gave me $20, and she said, take this, and then we'll figure it out from there once you get the other one, you know, whatever, so.
Well, I think that only 2 for 20, 10 bucks a piece, ooh, that sounds cheap to me, but.
It does, but I think she was just paying forward towards the, because I was saying,
oh,
look,
okay,
why don't
you
go ahead, and once I figure it out, of course, I never figured it out. I need to call, maybe I should just call. I never did. I never called headquarters to find out anybody that might know it.
Well, I'm sure I've got one. As soon as I hang up, they're laying right there. I won't do anything else. I'll go down and look. So,
okay.
Give me just a few minutes. I'm sure I've got to have an old price list. I mean, even if it's an old catalog, usually Betty has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, you know, back it 20%. So.
Yeah. Hey. Jeffrey Smith is in town here tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, GMO-free Arizona. He's speaking tonight. I'm going to go.
That would be a good place to meet some people. And also,
mm-hmm.
you can think of anybody that you haven't, you know, gotten through on NECAN too very well, or either way. But or maybe one of each last-minute invites usually work really well for me.
Yeah.
Usually better than... A lot of times the percentages are better for me
mm-hmm.
than
mm-hmm.
calling somebody in advance to say, hey, I just
yeah.
found out, you know, da da da.
I had seen an email come through, and I looked it up last night. I said, I think it's Thursday, and it is. It's tonight, so I'm excited about that. Hi, Betty. I heard you come on.
Hi, Jeannie and Shar.
Good morning. It's funny it would be that because that's one of the books that caught my eye when I was looking for something else last night. Does anybody have Inflammation Nation? I just ordered a paperback from Thrift Books for $3, $3.25 or $3.50, something like that. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, it was the bottom level pay. Good condition
has arrived.
I thought I maybe had one, but maybe it was the other one that was something Nation. So anyway, I just wondered if anybody had it and if you'd read anything in it.
No, I haven't. I haven't done that. I remember the name, but I don't think I ever got it. It's one of his older books.
Yeah, it's before the Gene Smart, whatever it is now, that he's updated. That's
has arrived.
his work that he did in, all the stuff that builds the inflammation in our body, which we pretty well know. The only big controversy that I wanted to look up and see why and why the egg was so strong.
Yeah.
I just
good. I
want to
know that too.
One.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to know about that too. About the egg thing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, not that any of us overdo it. That's not my point. But I'm just curious. Go ahead. You got the new
what? Absolutely. Well, I got the new Well-Being Journal magazine yesterday when I went grocery shopping.
Has arrived.
Yeah.
It had some interesting titles on the front. One was, Are Cancer Cells Sugar Addicts? And Food Additives and Asthma. And then Sleep Can Prevent Mental Illness. I said, okay.
Has arrived.
I talked about, when I was down there, I talked about, this is the interesting part, when you're somewhere else other than your own territory.
Linda Morse.
Has arrived.
I talked about the article that came out of the other one on the Red Palm Kernel, and I said, if people read this article, they would be using the KVB just for that one reason. I mean, just for the information in that article, because it's so strong on it. I mean, just for the one item that's in there to get the good fat.
Exactly.
And so then on Saturday, Saturday when they had the event, I just read the titles of the article, of the research articles in it. Because Liz says, you can't believe how strong that was to those people, because I had people come up to me afterwards and say, okay, I'll be on auto ship for the KVB now. I'm not going to mess around. I'll be taking it every morning. And I thought, wow, I wish I could do that at home to people I talk to.
Really?
That's why Jenny likes to travel. The secret is, when you're away from home, talking to somebody else's, you silly thing. She missed my lap, went over the top of it. So anyway, when, that's the power. Well, it's not just away. It's the power of the third party is what it is. Because we're not as familiar there as we are here.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let you do your part, Jeannie. Sorry. That article.
That reminded me. It does. And this article on cancer cells or sugar addicts, using a ketogenic diet to treat cancer, it kind of goes in a little bit of depth, but basically it's saying that when you have lower carbohydrates in your diet and higher, they're talking about having fat, which is, the palm oil I was thinking about the KVB, and then the protein being plant-based, it's sort of saying that all in here, that can really, it explains what it does in your body. And the cells, if there are cancer cells there, they end up, the fat will block the glucose, something or other that happens in your body when you eat carbohydrates. So it was interesting. I went, that's exactly what's happening, when we have KVB, when we drink that. So, and there's ketogenic diets and all sorts of things. There's this woman who wrote the article, has written several, books and different things, but anyway, she mentions, Otto Warburg, who I learned about in the China study. He wrote back in the, 1924, he was a Nobel Prize winning biochemist. He proposed the hypothesis that cancer is a metabolic disease that affects the way cells use food to make energy. And he believed that cancer cells exhibit a preference for using sugar to fuel themselves, even when the oxygen needed for normal cellular energy processes is available. So anyway, and he goes through that, but anyway, that just kind of reminded me of that.
You know, this on that same subject, I forgot to get Joanne. I had to go pick her up on the line.
Okay.
Anyway, in the Gene Smart Diet, that's just exactly what I just started. My eyes fell on it yesterday when I opened the book to try and find something that was extended on the egg thing, and it's it was fewer restricting calories reverses the biomarkers of the aging and disease. But then it said right here the part that is not gonna that is the issue is the pros and cons of extreme caloric restriction. Well, that's all we're doing when we're doing the plant-based, of course. That's what the plant-based is. You're getting rid of the stuff that is so high in calories, that is fried, you know, packaged, which so much of the stuff is fried when packaged, with extra oils in it, or with extra oils. But he said, top line, there's all the pros. All the things that help lowers the blood pressure, lowers the LDL cholesterol, lowers the triglycerides, raises the good HDL cholesterol, lowers fasting insulin and glucose levels, lowers C-reactive protein. He's got quite a bit in here on that, and slims the DNA damage, which is all going to be related to.
You're cracking up a little bit. You're cracking up just a little bit.
I don't even have a. In here, so I don't know what's wrong.
Sorry.
It's got to be the amount of water we got in the dishes, I guess, when the line's up. Anyway, those are all the pros, and then he said there's only one con, but it's a biggie. I'm hungry. Severely restricting calories is unrealistic for the vast majority of us. Meaning that we can't seem to get used to the feeling of being hungry before we are ready to eat. You know, or we all noticed when we first started on this that all of a sudden we're hungry. We haven't said much about that lately, but all of a sudden we're hungry because we're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that feeling, or at least we should be, because if we're not, we're eating before it's time, or else we're eating too much, and then the time comes around to eat again. Because that was always my marker to keep my weight down was I don't eat until I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, before we started this, and then we realized that hunger feeling, once it hits, is, I mean, it is. You're hungry. Well, I need food right now, or, you know, that's the way it is. But I've gotten used to that, so. Anyway.
You know, that happened to me yesterday. And, you know, we're back from being on the road and all this kind of stuff. And I was reading about GMO stuff, and I thought, oh, about oils. And when you eat out, you should ask, you know, what kind of oils, if they use any, and that kind of a thing. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I bet I've. But anyway, we still did our KVB when we were gone. But yesterday, all of a sudden, I was like, I am so hungry. I can't believe I was like in the fridge looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking probably that is because we are back on our, well, we're back at our wellness home too, but getting back on our schedule and having good food that I prepare myself, you know, at home. So,
yeah, it does. It hits you really, really big. And then, of course, when you're away from home, you are on a different eating schedule, as well as your foods have adjusted, with, no matter how hard you try, because asking to reduce the oil on everything, and I know, I remember McDougal saying that was the first thing. He says, I tell them, however you prepare the food normally, I want no oil in my food. He just said no oil, period. He says, my wife is a little more polite. She says, use as little as you can. He says, no, I don't want that oil in my food. He says, they can prepare it without oil. He says, they don't have to dump the oil in it when they're cooking it. But it's just a customary thing that they do. So So anyway, it's, you know, it's just good to have the reminders again for me, because that's the one I do forget when I'm out. I can say, oh, eliminate the cheese, eliminate the croutons, you know, eliminate this. And I was doing that all over the place. Eliminate this or put this on the side. When they brought the amount of dressing, they had dumped on, I had one that was just gorged with dressing. And I go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. And, you know, because usually you're in the habit of the Caesar salad, though, and I think of it as pretty having the dressing out, but I've never taken so much dressing in all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, you only do it once when you're out, at least on a trip. And I saw the amount of dressing they brought in a bowl. I mean, it wasn't just a little cup thing of it. It was a bowl, a big bowl. And I thought, good grief.
Yeah.
I said, I don't need a fourth of that. And she looked at me, you know, I mean, I hate to waste stuff, you know, but I guess that's a good one to pour out, maybe somebody else, but just took it too. Anyhow.
Oh, here's another article too. Good morning, everybody. Anybody else want to say good morning or hello? Have some comments?
Good morning.
Hi, Onita.
Hello.
I recognize that voice.
Good morning, Jamie.
Hi, Elaine. That's Elaine. I recognize that voice, too.
Good morning, all.
Hi, Steve. Good morning, good morning. There's another one in here, just a short article. This is in the Well-Being Journal, the new Well-Being Journal for September, October. It has a beautiful bowl of vegetables on the front. It just makes me hungry when I look at it. It's so pretty. But anyway, there's an article in here, Beautify Skin with Vegetables. And a study lead by Ian Stephen, PhD at the University of Nottingham, revealed that eating a diet rich in fruits and vegetables gives you more of a healthy glow, golden glow, than sunbathing. Instead of going for a tan in sunshine, overexposure to which can irreversibly damage your skin, you can get your tan by munching on or juicing up vegetables such as carrots, broccoli, and spinach. These can do double duty, depending on the ingredients you choose. Our research shows that eating lots of fruit and vegetables is actually more effective at making skin attractive than is getting a suntan. Most people don't eat enough brightly colored vegetables and fruit to make a difference in skin tone or overall health, but people can juice a wide variety of produce. It's easy to drink 2 servings in 1 glass. Have 2 glasses of freshly made juice a day, and you've sipped 4 servings. That will make a difference in how you look. Stephen and his team found that people who eat more portions of fruits and vegetables per day have an attractive golden skin color thanks to substances called carotenoids. These antioxidants help mollify toxins and damaging compounds produced by the stresses of everyday living, poor food choices, and environmental toxins. And, you know, while we were gone, I have to say, I noticed that my skin looked a little more pale, like my face skin, and of course I was working extremely, we had weird hours and all this kind of stuff, but I never seem to get enough vegetables when I'm traveling, and that was a big thing for me. So anyway, that's why when I was reading this, I thought, aha, you know, now I'm back home, I can really eat more, and I can utilize my Vitamix and make my green drinks, you know.
You could take your bullet and get by with doing smoothies and that.
I know.
We've done that, but I know it's a pain if you don't have the refrigeration and that stuff to keep the things cool. But I know Denny even did that when he was traveling when we first started. He got left here and didn't have it. He went and bought one. Or he was on the road because he said, I just really love not having my smoothie. You know, we've got a bigger variety of stuff we work on now, but.
That's the worst thing for me is when we do that particular show because we're flying and my suitcases are heavy and
yeah.
those things. Anyway. And there's a thing,
yes,
go ahead.
No, not necessarily.
Did you hear that, and this is the Jeffrey Smith thing, Whole Foods GMO labeling announcement? This might have come out, and I wasn't aware of it too, but Jeffrey Smith writes, in a surprise announcement, Whole Foods Market said that by 2018, they would require labeling of genetically engineered foods sold in their store for products that were not either organic or verified by the non-GMO project. This significant breakthrough puts on notice all food companies who still use GMOs, according to the USA Today. Products that get a non-GMO verification label see sales spike between 15% and 30%, said A.C. Gallo, president of Whole Foods. That's a big... So when they get the verification label, sales spiked up 15% and 30%. We saw the same dynamic in Europe just before the non-GMO avalanche kicked GMO ingredients out of the continent. Iceland Frozen Foods was the first chain to announce they had eliminated GMOs in the late 1998. Their sales shot up. Everyone took notice. Media coverage then alerted even more consumers about GMO risks. And by April of 1999, the rest of the European food industry followed suit. The U.S. food industry is ramping up now as well. Non-GMO labels were one of the fastest-growing label claims in the U.S. for the past 4 years. And in 2012, sales of products labeled non-GMO were the fastest-growing among all the health and wellness categories. The non-GMO project has verified more than 9,000 products from 600 companies, with combined 2012 sales of about $3.5 billion. I heard about one natural food store manager who attributed recent record sales to the popularity of non-GMO products, particularly due to more and more physicians in their area recommending non-GMO diets. Consumer rejection of GMOs is being reflected in the demand for mandatory labeling, which is already enjoyed by 3 billion people in 62 countries, other than the U.S. groups in 37 U.S. states have efforts underway to pass state labeling bills in Washington State's ballot initiative I-522 to be voted on by citizens in November has a huge chance of success. In particular, the state's salmon, apple, and wheat industries are at risk of contamination by future GMO introductions, and therefore industry leaders have become champions of labeling and isolation to protect their markets. And this came from... you know, Jeffrey Smith's website is called responsibletechnology.org, and he has a little newsletter called Spilling the Beans, and that came out March 2013. Go ahead.
Jumping in there. In fact, and I would think you would have that since you've got that. In fact, if you want to forward that to me, Jane, maybe more than one of us doing it might get a response. I would think he would have some kind of a form. I mean, what was going through my mind, if you wanted to even just carry one with you, like when you went to a doctor, you know, somebody's going to a doctor and said, hey, would you mind just asking if the doctor would put his signature on here? And there must be some kind of form where they collect names that they want we want to be notified of the labeling saying that it's GMO, or we want it out of here. However they would word it, because I can't imagine he doesn't have a form like that.
I bet there is one here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look.
Because that way we could print it and look at what, I mean, gee whiz, if you understand and, you know, get permission to say, hey, would you mind if I stood out here and collected names for non-GMO? And look at the people you'd have to talk to.
Has arrived.
In your own community, in your own neighborhood.
That's a great idea.
That you wouldn't know. I mean, you know, even if you did it 20 minutes when you went to the store, you had some extra time.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's getting out of my comfort zone again, but you know what?
That's okay.
That's what makes things happen faster.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's a great idea. And they are having a, it's the title of it is Health Hazards of GMO Foods. And it's, They're going to join us as we explore the health risks of unlabeled GMOs in our food. Jeffrey Smith, author of Seeds of Deception and Genetic Roulette, will be the keynote speaker. We will also have a panel of three Phoenix area physicians who will engage with the audience in a Q&A session about why they are concerned and how they help their patients with the GMO-free diet. So,
if you don't find one there, why don't you try and go up and ask him?
I will. And there's a, you can contact the organizer. I guess there's a group here called GMO Free Arizona, which I, subscribe to now.
Okay.
And, I just didn't pursue that, so this is pretty cool.
Okay, tell people, one of them that you talk to, if you get a chance, that you work with people all over the United States, and do they have a general listing of the people in the different areas? That would be great for us.
Okay. General listing in other areas.
Okay. Because it may not be on their website.
Okay. I'll do that.
And, you know, the more the word gets out, the faster it's going to go. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
I know this area, the Northwest, is such a stop for, a big part of what's going on. Because they said that over and over. I mean, you've got to be a big part of something, because there's a few things that we don't want to be identified with. The headlines on our paper, I won't go there, it's a negative. But anyway.
Anyway, no. Thank you, that's a great idea. I'm excited about it. It'll be a good thing. Anybody else have comments or questions? Or a thought about any of this? Kind of menagerie of things?
I thought it was interesting this morning as I was riding the train in, I was reading an article saying that Monsanto, because of the lack of sales of genetically modified soybeans, had lost like $250 million in the last quarter. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yay.
Hey. Well, I know from evidence that Bob Dreadmill dumped a whole bunch of bags at the mission store of soybeans, and I wouldn't pick one up to use in my cooking because it did not say organic on it. And if it's, and I know they don't try and get, I mean, they're trying not to get any GMO, but the thought ran through my mind, I wonder if they found out it was not GMO free or they couldn't prove it because it wasn't on the label. And that's why they dumped them, and they are still sitting there. I mean, they brought in pallet loads of them, and they're still sitting there on the shelf. So, I mean, a lot of them. They're nowhere near. They had quinoa in there, and it was gone in a matter of a few days. And this one is set there for absolutely months. So that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad anybody buy it, but, you know, they're still,
mm-hmm.
still sitting there.
Well, that's a good thing. All right.
You know, I asked some of the people that plant soybeans if they're what kind they're planting, and, you know, they're not even answering me. They don't seem to even know themselves. And I would think they would know if it's from Monsanto and one of those, but I think it's getting real touchy. They don't answer, you know.
Yeah, if it was organic, if they were organic or non-GMO, they would know.
That's what I felt like, but I was just curious.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not the guys out in the field planting, but whoever's supplying the seeds, that, you know, if you're talking to the owner, they would know.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to know. The farmers might, I mean, the workers might not know.
Oh. Wow. There's a whole, I was looking at their responsibletechnology.org. He has a whole, he's got GMO education. He's got just tons of stuff there. events that are happening by non-GMO, how to dine out, non-GMO, avoiding aspartame, all these different things. Take action. There's school kits. This is what I was looking for. Find your local TPN group. There's an action toolkit, a retailer, a school's toolkit, a parent's toolkit to get stuff started. There's a lot of resources here. That's nice. Okay.
Good.
Anyway, yeah. Well, great, everybody. Thanks for anything else?
Great information, things we can take action on.
Yeah.
As though we don't have enough, but, you know, you've got to work out the priorities here, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Even
all right, well,
it's only small space.
Yeah. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay. 7:30. Thank you, Jeannie.
Yeah,
thank
you're
Jeannie.
Welcome. We'll be back on tomorrow.
Linda Morse
has left the conference.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.